I think he scared everybody off, really. I think what basically happened during the course of that time is that Chip Kelly did such a bad job this year in personnel, and he angered so many of his former players that I think the one thing that Kelly obviously has learned or should have learned in this experiment here he had in Philadelphia, which is really what it's turned out to be. He coached there for 48 games, won 26, lost 22, including one in the playoffs. But really, I think he learned an awful lot about the difference between pro and college football, and about how sometimes in pro football you have to massage egos. I really compare him a lot to Bill Belichick in his first 3 years in Cleveland. And look, I'm not saying that Kelly is ever going to do one-tenth of what Belichick has done in the NFL. I don't mean that, but I mean that Belichick was a really, really smart guy who in his first 3 years in Cleveland alienated everybody, fired Bernie Kosar, had the owner pulling his hair out because he wouldn't do anything, you know, real public publicity-wise, you know, to help the team, help the organization. He just wanted to coach the team. And I think that there's a lot of similarities to that in what happened with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. He just wanted to coach the team. He wanted to experiment on his players with nutrition and things like that. And a bunch of players, especially because they didn't win early, a bunch of players basically said, this guy's a bum. I don't like him. And anytime, look, I've always thought this about pro football, that if you win and get pelts on the wall, as Bill Parcells used to call them, you can coach and do all the weird crap that you want.
Right.
And you can yell at guys and you can scream at Phil Simms on the sidelines of a Monday night game, which he did in Indianapolis, and everybody laughs at it. And it doesn't divide the team because they just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's Parcells. We've won a Super Bowl, so his, you know, he's got the power. It's the same thing with Belichick now. All the people who look at Bill Belichick right now and who say, man, what a genius. I guarantee you, 14 years ago, they're saying, you know, before he's won his first one in New England, they're saying, what has this guy done? He bombed out in Cleveland. He goes 5-11 his first year in New England. When is Kraft firing him? And again, so I just want to make it very clear. I'm not saying that Chip Kelly is Bill Belichick, but what I am saying is that really good coaches with really good reputations, when they come into the NFL, if they don't win, they're just the same bum who they replaced and who didn't win.
Peter, do you get the sense that Chip Kelly's the kind of guy who learns quickly from his mistakes? And you know, there's a lot of the blame of the season falling apart. It obviously goes to the personnel decisions he made, but that still at times looked like an oddly coached team that didn't understand the tempo required in professional football.
In my opinion, I think it was a combination of the fact that a lot of players, you know, and look, Jason Peters, I think, is a great example. Late in the season, Jason Peters, there were a lot of people, I mean a lot of people, who thought that when they played Washington and they ended up losing that game, when they played Washington in Game 15, Week 16, and lost the game and lost the division, Jason Peters took himself out of that game. And look, no one on the Eagles is ever going to say that Jason Peters wasn't hurt or anything like that, okay? But I can tell you that there were many, many eyebrows raised around the Eagles because people thought that he took himself out of the game and he wasn't hurt enough to take himself out of the game. And he did it because he just hated everything that was going on there. And so, you know, again, whether that's true, whether that's not, all I can tell you is that is the prevailing thought around that team. And I think that had some whatever small percentage, 1%, 6%, whatever, to what Jeffrey Lurie ended up thinking that he had to do before the last game of the season. Now, so all I'm saying is that I think Chip Kelly will have learned an awful lot because he's a really, really smart guy. And I think one of the things he will have learned is that I need to be more conscious of how I treat every player on this team. I need to be more conscious that by me giving Riley Cooper a second chance with some players on the team, it doesn't matter how long Riley Cooper is a good guy, they're going to remember
right. Him
saying the racially inflammatory stuff that he said at a concert in Philadelphia when the Eagles decided, for better or for worse, to keep him in Kelly's first year. And, you know, there's some guys in the locker room and who were gone from there, you know, who just thought that that was not a savable player. That wasn't an offense that should have been forgiven. Kelly forgave it, and I think that stuck with him. I think a lot of things stuck with him. But, you know, again, I will only say this, that if, you know, if – and again, this is a stretch. But if Sam Bradford played a lot better this year and was healthy this year and they win this division, this – you know, the 49ers are looking for a different coach. Because, in my opinion, they would have won 10 games and won the division. But, again, ifs and buts are candy and nuts. So, you know, if you don't win by saying if. I guess, Damon, the point that I'm making, the overarching point, is that I can say that Chip Kelly is sort of a misunderstood genius. And I don't say that. I'm exaggerating. But I could say that. But then on the other hand, I could say very rationally that he made some gigantic errors, you know, in how he dealt with players, in saying that that LeSean McCoy didn't fit our cap, and then he goes out and gets a running back for almost as much money into DeMarco Murray.
Right.
So it's just – there are just all these things. Chip Kelly made a lot of errors. And that's one of the reasons why, and I know that the Bay Area doesn't want to hear, you know, leave the personnel to Trent Baalke and just leave the coaching to Chip Kelly. But it's very, very clear right now that Jed York has chosen Trent Baalke as the football steward of this franchise. So now Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly are going to have to get along. It's an arranged marriage. It's a forced marriage. It's a shotgun wedding. We all know that. But that's the way it's going to be, I would think, for at least 2 years. And let's see if Baalke can get the players and Chip Kelly can coach them and can find a quarterback who he can win with.
Peter King from Sports Illustrated here on the Damon Bruce Show. Can we draw a direct arrow from Kelly's hire to Kaepernick staying next year?
I don't know. I mean, I just think it's way too early. I think there are a lot of problems with Kaepernick, you know, independent, even though, I mean, I just read today that evidently they have Trent Baalke tried to make peace with him basically before this season ended. And so, look, I mean, I think there's a chance that they can salvage him. And that he can be, you know, the quarterback next year. I just think it's too early to tell. I just think everybody's guessing. The logic is that he can make it and he'll stay. But beyond just being logical, I have no idea. What if Chip Kelly says, I really want to try to sign Sam Bradford? So I don't know. I just think it's too early right now.
Peter, let's wrap up with this. An early quick list of a potential coaching staff around him, who fits the Chip Kelly team?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think obviously he's going to have to decide right now whether, for instance, at defensive coordinator, if he's going to like Bill Davis. He was very, very loyal right down to the bitter end with Bill Davis. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what the Eagles do. We'll see what Bill Davis wants to do. But aside from that, I don't know about the coaching staff. I'm sure he has a lot of guys in mind, and I'm sure he's going to mix and match some of those guys, you know, going back to his Oregon days.
By the way, I thought your open letter to all the players in the NFL after that Cincinnati-Pittsburgh meltdown was one of the better reads, and I do hope that that makes its way across a lot of players' desks. I think there was a lot of great stuff in there, and someone had to say it. I'm glad it was you, Peter.
Well, I appreciate that, Damon. Not everyone shared your opinion, but that's the way life goes sometimes. I mean, I just figure that because everybody who said you should have written that to the owners, you should have written it to the players, or you should have written it to the coaches. Yeah, fine. But at the end of the day, I can tell you that Marvin Lewis has harped on all of his players, all of them, a lot over the last few years about how to hit, how to tackle, especially in the open field when there's a lot of, when you don't have a long time to try to figure out how you're going to avoid the gigantic hit. And so, you know, at some point, the players have to take responsibility, in my opinion, and they have to just say, look, we're not going to play this way. We're not going to go out and get basically, we're not going to go out and think that this game means so much that we're willing to injure our opponents over it.
Peter, thank you very much for your time on a busy afternoon, certainly very busy out here, and hopefully during a busy Super Bowl week, we get to spend a little more time in your court. Thanks an awful lot.
Hey, that's great. Thank you so much, Damon. Have a great day.